Today's shiur is Masechet Basra, Daf Nun Dalet. We will begin on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Omer of Amram, Hai Milsa Omelon Rav Sheshes, the following halacha was taught to us by Rav Sheshes, Van Hiran Enenim Masnisim, and he backed it up with a raya from a brisa. Actually, the Mefarshim say this is really somewhat of a play of words. We know that Rav Sheshes was unfortunately blind. And the Gemara is teaching us that even though Rav Sheshes was physically blind, but he was spiritually, had tremendous vision. When here in Nainon, he opened up our eyes to what's important in learning. And Rav Amram taught us the following, Rav Sheshes taught us the following. Hamatzia Matzos Benichse Hager. We've been discussing how a kinyan can be affected in Nichse Hager, in the property of a ger. And he says that if somebody rolls out a mattress on the property of a ger, the halach is kana, it's a valid kinyan. Machloikis Rishainim, what is included in Hamatziya Matzos? The Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is as the Gemara reads, laying out a mattress. But the Rashbam points out that laying out a mattress without laying on it really haven't accomplished much. So what the Gemara means is that you put out the mattress and you use it. Other Rishonim, in fact, say it's not that much the putting out the mattress that counts. What really counts is if there's a mattress there from before and you lay down on that mattress, you've done a Maisa Kinyan. Says the Gemara, Van Hiran Einenim Misnisen, and Rav Sheshes proved this halacha from the following brisa, Mahi, the Tanya, Ketzeh B'Chazaka. We know that somebody could acquire an Eved Kenani, and one of the ways of doing, of acquiring him is with a Kinyan Chazaka. So the brisa describes different types of Chazaka. Noloi Minoloi, the Eved puts on the shoe of his owner. He takes off his shoe. Or she helich kelev achrov lebeis hamerchetz. Or he carries his garments to the bathhouse. Vefshita, he undresses him. Vechitza, he washes him. Sochoi, he smears him with oil. Gorda, he scrapes him. Vilbishai, now he dresses him. Veniloi, he puts on his shoes. Vekibioi, or he lifts him. Konai. So what the Gemara is showing us is just the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, that if I have service from something, that's considered a Ma'is Chazaka. So just like I have service from the Eved, that's the way I'm kind of the Eved. Similarly, if I have service from the property of the Ger, that I'm able to lay down on it, that's considered a Ma'is Kinyan. Another version, very similar, of this Pshat, is that the Gemara is teaching us, we've been trying to describe in the last number of shiurim, what is the definition of a chazaka? The Gemara is now teaching us that the definition of a chazaka is something that I have benefit, that I enjoy. So just like when I'm kain and evit, so he brings me enjoyment, he's doing these various acts I might have. Similarly, if I have enjoyment from the karka of the ger, I'm able to lay down on it, that's considered a valid act of kinyan. The Rashbam asks that it seems that the Braisa repeats the word v'heniloi. The Braisa at the beginning says ketzeh b'chazok, and the first words are noloi minoloi. And then the Braisa repeats itself v'heniloi. So he asks, why does the Braisa repeat the same act twice? So Rashbam answers, since the Braisa says v'hilbishoi, so the Braisa also says v'heniloi. But other Rishonim answer that noloi minoloi means to put on the shoe. V'heniloi doesn't mean to put on the shoe. The noloi means that he tied his shoelaces. That also in itself, even if he didn't put on my shoe, I had my shoe on and he ties my shoelaces, that also is considered a valid act of kinyan. In fact, this braisa is used, this is the beauty of Torah, we could learn Baba Basra, Sechta Baba Basra, and we could try to see answers to halachic shaylas. There's a question, I saw the halachic question relevant to two shaylas. Is putting on shoes considered a malbush? Where's the question relevant? One is if a nether was made, I made a nether that you can't service me, you can't put on clothes for me, or you make a nether, I won't do it for you. may you put on my shoes? Another shaila, maybe a little more relevant, is the halachis, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that one is supposed to change all his clothing for Shabbos. So the question is, do you have to have Shabbos shoes? You have to have a different Shabbos suit. Do you have to have a different Shabbos shoes? So the Paiskim bring a raya from this Braisa that Nalayim and Malbush are two separate things. Because the Braisa speaks about Vehilbishoi, and the Braisa speaks for Niloi. So obviously shoes are not considered part of the rest of your wardrobe. And the aloch of a levush doesn't apply to shoes, and maybe you don't have to have special shoes for Shabbos. Continues the Braisa. Amar of Shimon, loitei chazoka gdoyle magbo. Chazoka should not be more of an act of kinyan than agbo. Shagbo koine become mokin. If hagbo is a valid kinyan all over, here too it should be valid. Ask the Gemara, my comment, what does Rav Shimon mean here? It says, the Gemara, this is the way to understand. Higbil a rabba, konoi. As we've learned, if the Eved were to lift the Odoin, that would be a valid act of kinyan. However, according to the opinion of the Tanakama, higbi a rabbi loy, if I will lift the Eved, if the Odoin will lift the Eved, it's not a valid act of kinyan. Loy konam. I'm Rav Shimon, so Rav Shimon disagrees, and he says, loy tei chazok, gedoyle magbo. Throughout halacha, we find that agbo is one of the most potent forms of kinyanim. So if chazaka is a valid act of kinyan here, certainly hagbo should be a valid act in kinyan. Shagbo kind of become mokin. And therefore, if the odoin lifts the eved, it will also be a valid act of kinyan. However, the Rishonim debate, according to the opinion of Shimon, that we're learning now that if the odoin lifts the eved, it's a valid act of kinyan, the Rishonim debate, and what category of kinyan is it? Some Rishonim learn, and that's Pash Pashat in the Gemara, it's going to be considered a kinyan hagbo. Other Rishonim say, what Rav Shimon means is that it'll be a kinyan chazaka, lamay nafkamina. So I saw the Mefarshim explain a nafkamina. We learned the Gemara, in Masecht Baba Metzia. The Gemara discusses, how do you do a kinyan hagbo on an elephant? You can't lift an elephant. So the Gemara says that if you put something out in front of the elephant, and then the elephant walks on top of it, so you cause the elephant to be lifted up, that's a valid kinyan. So what do we see? That to affect a valid kinyan agbo, you don't have to physically lift the item up. You just have to cause that it should be raised. So if the kinyan agbo on the eved is because of a kinyan agbo, then just causing him to be lifted up, even though you didn't physically lift him, would be a valid kinyan agbo. But if it's because of a kinyan chazaka, you would have to physically lift them, otherwise you wouldn't have a kinyan chazaka. Continues the Gemara. Amar b'yimei bara, amar b'yehuda. Hai man de shoda lifted by pili. If somebody throws a turnip into the cracks, the ar of the ger, into the property of a ger, the loch is lo yav chazaka. It's not considered a valid chazaka. My tama, why? Bidin de shodna, at the moment I throw the turnip in there, loy v'shafcha. Nothing happens. The new turnip doesn't grow that quickly. Hashta de kashavach, then when a new turnip ultimately grows, that wasn't an immediate reaction to my act. And shvach memele kashavach, and that's why it's not considered a valid act of chazaka. So as the Rishonim, there are a number of pshatim in the Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Some Rishonim explain, this is the way the Rashbam explains, that the only way you have a valid act of kinyan is if you plant the item, and besides planting it, you cover it. Anything less is not a valid act of kinyan. Others explain, the Yad Ramah, interesting Yad Ramah, says that the planting is not what's important. What's important is the covering it. So if you would have a seed or turnip in the property and you would cover it, that's fine. Here you didn't do any covering, so it's not considered an act of chazaka. The Rashba has a different pshat. The Rashba says it's not the planting, it's not the covering. It makes a difference if it's a property, if it's a piece of land that was previously plowed versus if it wasn't previously plowed. If it was previously plowed, then it's considered a valid act of chazaka when you're planting it. If it's not previously plowed, then just throwing it into a crack in the ground is not an act of chazaka. Furthermore, say to Rishonim, the Gemara is being very specific in picking a turnip. Because a turnip, I'm not a farmer, but a turnip apparently grows very quickly. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that even though the turnip, a new turnip, will turn up very quickly, still, since it isn't immediate, it's not a valid act of chazakah. Now here we have a machlokes rishonim. The Gemara says clearly that doing this act in the property of a ger who died without relatives is not a valid act of chazakah. What would be the halacha if I didn't do it in the property of a ger? I buy a property from you, and I want to do a kinyan chazakah, and this is what I do. I throw a turnip in the crack of the ground. Would it be a valid act of chazakah? It's a machloikas rishonim. And I was actually thinking that this machloikas rishonim may be based on a different machloikas. The Rashbam here adds very interesting din. He says, not only if I plant this way, throwing a turnip into the crack in the ground, it's not a maisa chazakah, but the Rashbam says, let's say I harvest the property of a ger, fruit, vegetables, whatever, it's not a valid act of chazakah. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam, well, I don't know if the Rambam disagrees. Let's see what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, if I buy property from you, and I want to make a kinyan chazakah, by cutting fruits, vegetables, whatever, it's a valid act of chazakah. So the Mefarshim discuss, is there a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rashbam? And they all seem to want to explain that there is no machlokes. Just they explain it in different ways. The Yad Ramah explains it as follows. He says that, and we've spoken about this concept previously, when there's a buyer and a seller, which the halachic term is called das acheres makna, that the act of chazakah could be a weaker act of chazakah. Versus when I'm being koinah from hefker, I need a stronger act of chazakah. So if I'm harvesting the property of a ger, so there's only me, there's no seller, there's a ger. That's hefker. So there I need a strong act of chazakah. Says the Rashbam, harvesting is not a strong act of chazakah. Versus when I'm buying something from you, so we have a buyer and a seller, so we have a das acheres makna, the type of act of chazakah could be a weaker act, and just harvesting is enough. That's the Yad Ramah's explanation. Or Sameach is a different explanation. The Or Sameach says as follows. If I'm buying a property from you, and I start harvesting that, if I'm harvesting your property, and you don't say anything, why aren't you saying anything? Because it's obvious that you sold me the property. Versus if I'm harvesting a property that's hefker, it isn't obvious that I'm buying the whole property. Maybe I'm only taking the fruits and vegetables. So now let's connect the machlokes rishonim. According to Yad Ramah, there's a fundamental halachic difference between a buyer and a seller and a ger. So it could be the Yad Ramah, in his explanation of the Rambam, will hold that throwing turnips in the land of a seller, I don't need such a strong chazakah, will be good enough. By ger, it's not good enough. But according to the Or Sameach, there's a special vart involved in harvesting, the lack of protest. That you can't say regarding throwing turnips into a ground, and that won't be effective neither by a ger nor by a buyer and a seller. Continues the Gemara. Hayman de Poshach de Omishmu. And we begin a series of Gemaras, very nice Gemaras, of what is considered a valid act of chazakah. Hayman de Poshach Dikla Adata the Dikla Kani. If somebody prunes a tree, if his intent is for the benefit of the tree, koni, then it's a valid act of chazakah. But if it's adata de chiyusa, if it's only because you want to have branches to feed your animals, that's not a valid act of chazakah, like koni. And the Rashbam helps us understand the Gemara. The Rashbam says that to be considered a valid act of chazakah, you have to have two characteristics. Number one, it has to be a proper act with the proper intent. Otherwise, it's not considered an act of chazakah. I saw a beautiful pshat. Now we can understand a pasuk in Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Meraglim, v'chazaktem v'lakachtem pri ha'aretz. So, pasuk pshat we learned in Yeshiva was v'chazaktem. It takes courage to cut the fruits because you shouldn't get caught. The Mefarshim say much nicer pshat. I don't say nicer, but nice pshat. Now we're learning, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to do a kinyan chazakah. But we're learning now that to do a kinyan chazakah, you have to have intent. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, v'schazaktem, if you want to do a kinyan chazakah, this chazaktim. You have to have intent to do the kinyan chazaka, and then coupled with the intent, v'lekachtem, you have to do the maisa chazaka. When you have both of those combined, this chazaktim is considered a valid maisa chazaka. Ask the Gemara, hey chidomi, how do I know what your intent is? Says the Gemara, shokum mahaygisa mahaygisa. If you're pruning the entire tree, it's obvious that adopted the dikla. Says the Rashbam, how do you know? Maybe you did the entire tree, but you did it for the animal. So the Rashbam says, Poshup Shat, when somebody's pruning a tree, he's really doing it for the benefit of the tree. He really wants to buy the tree. It takes a stretch of the imagination to say that's not his intent. So if I have a question what his intent is, I'm always going to lean in the direction that he meant to do a chazaka. The Ritva takes it a step further. There is a real act of chazaka. So you have that act always working in your favor. That's why I say it's a good chazaka. But if you only did mechad gisa, if you only pruned the tree from one side, it's obvious that you didn't adopt the chiyusa just to give to your animals. It's not a valid act of chazaka. However, say to Rishonim, let's say you pruned the tree completely on one side, and the other side you didn't do it as extensively, that's still going to be a valid act of chazaka. Because we will assume that you did one side, and you intend to do the other side, but for whatever reason, you never completed doing that side. Similar Gemara. V'aman Shmuel, hay man de zochi zechya. If somebody is clearing a property, if it's a data de ara, if he's doing it on behalf of the property, koni, it's a valid act of kinyan, a data de tzivi, but if you just need the wood for fire, for whatever, like koni, then it's not a valid act of kinyan, because you're not doing it for the benefit of the property. Again, ask the Gemara, hey chidomi, how do I know what your intent is? Says the Gemara, shokl rav riva zutri, if you take the big and small twigs, so it's obvious that you're doing a data daira to clean the property. Shokl ravervi, the shokls, the shavik zutri, if you took the large woods and you left the small ones, so it's not data deceive that you want the wood, and that's why you want the large pieces. Certainly say to Rishonim, if you take only the small pieces of wood and you leave the large ones, then we could certainly assume that your intent was for the benefit of the property. Here we have, very interesting, machloikis between the Nesivis and the Avni Malun. The Nesivis says that when is it considered that that clearing the property is considered an act of chazaka? Only if you pick up pieces of wood that are connected to the ground. And he brings interesting raya. He brings raya from Shabbos. Just like by Shabbos, only picking up pieces of wood that are connected to the ground is malach on Shabbos. Similarly, here, to be considered a valid act of chazaka, you have to attach pieces of wood. That's the Nesivis' psak. Da'at Nimlum says, we're not learning Hilchus Shabbos today. We're learning Hilchus Chazaka today. And therefore, it makes no difference if the wood that you're clearing is attached or detached. If you do it with the intent to benefit the property, it's considered a valid act of chazaka. V'am Shmuel. Hayman the Iskel Tikla. If somebody clears a property, a data da'ara, if you're doing it because you ultimately want to plow this piece of property, then it's koni. A data da beit dori, but if you just want to make this into a threshing floor, like koni, then it's not a valid act of kinyan. Again, ask the Gemara, hey chidomi, how do I know what your intent is? Shokel mulya v'shad benatza. If what you do is you have mounds on the property and you have holes in the property, so you very specifically take the earth from the mounds and fill the holes. So you should have one flat piece of property. It's obvious that adata da'ara, your intention is to fit the property. But if mulya b'mulya v'natza b'natza, you're not really completely clearing the mounds. You're just making them a little lower. And you're not completely filling the holes. You're just filling them somewhat. Then we say adata da beidari, you just want to make it into a threshing floor. That's not a valid act of kinyan. However, say to Rishonim, when will this be an issue in not being a valid act of kinyan? That's only if you don't want to make it into a permanent threshing floor. But if you want to make it into a permanent threshing floor, who says that the only legitimate intent is plowing? If you want to make it into a permanent threshing floor, that's also a valid act of kinyan. Here, what the Gemara means is, you want to only make it into a temporary threshing floor, that isn't a valid act of kinyan. Says the Gemara, V'mishmul, hayman de pasach maya, ba'ara. If somebody opens up an irrigation canal towards a piece of property, adata da'ara, If you're doing it to benefit the property, koni, it's a valid act of chazaka. However, data de kavri is just the way that you want to catch fish, like koni. Again, asking marhechi dami, how do I know what your intention is? Pasach trei babi, if you opened up two openings, chad mile, one to let the water in, the chad mapik, and one to let the water out. So it's obvious that data de kavri, you just want the water to flow through, and you pick up the fish. This girsa de gemara, there's other girsas we'll speak in a moment. Chad baba, but if you only opened it up on one side, so you want the water to flow in and irrigate your property, and it's obvious that adopted the arrow that you want to benefit the property. Others explain just the opposite. If there's one hole, so you want the water to come in and get stuck there, and you can pick up the fish. They can't swim out. If you do it from two sides, you want the water to pass, but not flood your property. Others say a different way of understanding the Gemara. If the two holes at the intake and outlet are the same width, so it's obvious that you're doing it for irrigation. But if the hole at the intake is wider and the hole at the outlet is narrower, that's how you catch the fish. They don't have a way to get through the narrow hole, and that's why it's adata the arrow. Furthermore, say the Paiskim, this Gemara teaches us a very fundamental halacha in Hilchas Kinyan Chazaka. Because all the cases that we've learned till now, the Kinyan was in the property itself. Here, you haven't done a kinyan in the property. You just opened up the ability for water from somewhere else to come to your property. So it's sort of like a grumma. It's just koichoi. And still, it's considered a valid act of kinyan. Says the Gemara, Hayi itasa da'ochla dikla betivshcha tleisishnin. There was a woman who was eating the dates of a palm tree for 13 years. The dates of a palm tree of a ger. Also who, gavra, there was a man that came to the shir, and he knew that just eating fruit from a tree is not a valid act of kinyan. And what he did was, he plowed under the tree, which is a valid act of kinyan chazaka. Also, kameda levi, ramle kameda marukva, ukman biyode. And they said, and they paskin, that the second one did the valid act of kinyan. Also, katsafka kamei. So this woman came complaining. Amalei my evidloch. That I told her, what can we do for you? This is not a valid act of kinyan. Continues the Gemara. Amarav, hatsar sura benichsei hager. If somebody makes a painting, draws a painting on the property of a ger, kona. It's a valid act of kinyan. The rav like kona leginsa, the bay rav. Rav didn't make a kinyan on the garden by the yeshiva, by his yeshiva, that was originally the property of a ger, by drawing a painting. So Rishonim firstly say, just because you make a painting, it's not a valid act of chazaka, only if it's in a place that's appropriate for a painting. In other words, if it's a home where a nice painting belongs there, so drawing a painting is a kinyan chazaka. But if you're going to draw a painting in a warehouse, that isn't kinyan chazaka. This Gemara is one of the Gemaras that speaks about, the Torah says, what are you allowed to paint and what are you not allowed to paint? Here it's clearly indicating you're allowed to paint. Because if you weren't allowed to paint, how could it be a valid act of chazaka? So the Rishonim already say, the Marchai discusses this, Taisu discusses this, that certainly painting a picture of scenery of an animal is 100% mutar lahalacha. Just two things they say. Number one, that's a painting, not an engraving or something that sticks out. A painting on a canvas or on a wall is 100% mutter. Although Taisus says that you shouldn't draw paintings in a siddur or a machzer. That Taisus here. Why shouldn't you draw a painting in a siddur or a machzer? Because we're concerned that you're going to be busy looking at the pictures and not daven. That's not a question comes up. What about drawing a painting of a person? And if drawing the painting of a person is usur, say the Rishonim, that if you drew the painting of a person, it wouldn't be a valid act of kinyan. Because you can't make a kinyan with something that you weren't allowed to do. La'aloch, it's a very big machlokes. Most paiskim say that you should not draw a perfect picture of a person. You should either just draw a profile, or if you're drawing a whole face, don't make it perfect. And that's the way most paiskim say it's mutter. There's an interesting tshuva in the Marsham, based on this Gemara. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, "Vaysitelcha kol eitz al mizbech Hashem l'kecha." It's usur to plant a tree in the Beis HaMikdash. And the halach is that not only is it osur to plant a tree by a Beis HaMikdash, it's also to plant trees by a shul. So the question that was asked to the Marsham, not only Marsham, many Paiskim discuss this question, are you allowed to plant a garden, not a tree, a garden, flowers, next to a shul? Is that included in the Isser? So the Marsham wants to bring a raya from our Gemara that it's mutter. Because our Gemara says there was a ginsa, the Bei Rav. There was a garden next to the yeshiva of Rav. So obviously you're allowed to have a garden next to a shul next to yeshiva. However, the Paiskim say that the raya is not really a real raya. Why? Because even if the halacha is that you're not allowed to plant a tree, or let's say even a garden with flowers next to a shul, that's only if you have a shul, and now you want to plant a tree, you want to plant a garden. A tree certainly is usher. But let's say you have a tree next to a building, and then you take that building and you convert it into a shul. You're not obligated to cut down the tree. Actually, it's usher to cut down a tree. So could be what happened here was that the garden was there prior to the yeshiva. There certainly nobody will require you to rip up the garden. And there's no raya that you're allowed to plant the garden after the shul is already standing. Continues the Gemara. Itma. Sada ha-mesuyamis m'mitzurel. If you have a field that has very clear borders. Omer afuna m'rav. Kivin shehikish b'makush echod. As soon as you dig one hole in it, it's a valid act of kinyan. And kana kula. V'shmul ama, it's not a valid act of kinyan. L'kana ela mokim m'kusha b'vad. Only the exact spot that you dug will become yours. However, if it doesn't have clear borders, so you have a huge piece of property. At kama, how much is it, what is the valid act of kinyan? And as the Rishonim framed this Gemara, we actually quoted this din yesterday. Certainly, if I'm buying a property from you, so we learned in the previous year, it's a Gemara we're going to learn later in our Masechta. I believe it's Daf Samech Vav. The Gemara says as follows. It's actually Shmuel that says it. Let's say I buy from you 10 properties in 10 different locations, and I do a Maisa Kinyan on one of them, then that's adequate for all 10 properties, no matter how far they are from each other. The Gemara says a Svara of Sadna de Arachadhu. That's in a situation where I'm buying a property from you. Here, however, we're referring to a situation where I'm being zoiche b'nichsei hager. So it's a whole different, as we keep on repeating, it's a whole different concept. And here you have to do a stronger maisa chazaka, and now the Gemara wants to discuss, what is that? Amra Papa. So Papa says if it doesn't have border, it's a huge piece of property, it could also tire the shuri v'hadar. Three-way machlokes rishonim, what does this mean? The Rashbam explains it as follows. If you take your oxen who are plowing the field, and they go either north to south or east to west once, and then back two rows, that's considered a valid act of kinyan. The Rashba says a different shot. They have to go one row north to south and once east to west. So you have like a perpendicular, two perpendicular lines. That's the valid chazaka. Tosfos is the most lenient. Tosfos, let's say it's a very long field or a very wide field. You're going to have to go such a long direction. He says there's a concept called the telem. A telem is a row. And there was a standard length for a row. As long as the animals go that standard length, even though it isn't the whole length of your field, or it isn't the whole width of your field, if they go back and forth, that will be an adequate nice chazaka. Says the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Mishmul. Nichse oiv de kachavim, harein kemidbar. If somebody purchases, I purchase a property from the guy, and I give the guy money. Let's say I bought a property from a guy, I paid him, but I didn't yet get the shtar, so it isn't yet mine. So we have sort of a interim situation here. It's no longer the guy's, but it's not yet the Jewish purchaser's either. So if in this interim period, somebody else will be machzik in them. It's in a hefker state, and therefore call a machzik ben, as somebody does a maisa chazokin in this property in this interim state, zoch behen, it's considered a valid act of kinyan. Maitama, oivik achavim, Michimata Zuzal Yode Estalaklay. The guy, as soon as he gets the money, he walks away from the property. Yisrael, like Connie, but it isn't a valid, completed, consummated act of kinyan ad the Mati Shtar Liyode, until he actually gets a Shtar Kinyan. Hilkach, Harein Kamidbar, during this interim period, they're Hefker, and then the Kolamach Ben Zokabhen. Tremendous Kiddush. And let's try to understand what the Gemara says. So the Mefarshim, I saw that some Sophist explains the Gemara this way, Rav Shimon Shkop, the Stipler, all explain that every kinyan really involves two steps. One step is that I, the seller, relinquish my rights. And the next step is that the buyer, it becomes his. So they explain, unlike when a Yisrael is selling to Yisrael, the seller doesn't consider the deal done until the buyer takes delivery. Because a Yisrael isn't just interested in taking his money. He's also making sure that his partner, the purchaser, gets delivery of what I sold him. So the sale is not complete until the other person takes possession. Therefore, until he takes possession, it's mine. Whereas a guy is only interested in getting his property, getting his money. So as soon as he gets his money, the halacha is, he's finished. As far as he's concerned, he has no longer any connection to this property. But truthfully, the kinyan hasn't been consummated because the Yisrael didn't get the shtar. Why is the shtar so crucial to completing the kinyan? So I saw two approaches in the Rishonim. One approach is, and the Rashbam mentioned this earlier, that there are certain places that they don't do kinyan bekesef, that the kinyan has to be b'shtar. But there are other Rishonim to take it even a step further. When you purchase a property from an Akum, you're always concerned that he's going to come back tomorrow and say, what are you doing on my property? The only way you protect yourself is by having a deed. So Yisrael doesn't see himself completing the purchase until he actually gets the shtar. And therefore, in this interim period, it's like Hefker, and somebody else could do a Kinyan Chazaka. Actually, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh brings a raya from Psukim and the Chumash to this concept. If you remember the Parsha, when Ephraim sold the Maris HaMachpelah to Avram, they're two Psukim. One Pasuk says, V'yokim stay Ephraim Ashekona, and then the Pasuk repeats itself, V'yokim stay Ephraim Lachuzo. Why does the Torah say the same concept twice? Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that the Torah is telling us that exactly there were two steps, that every kinyan between an Akum and a Jew involves two steps. First was V'yokim stay Ephraim Ashekona. Ephraim got his money, Ashekona. As far as he's concerned, there was a kinyan. But that isn't enough. Avram has to take possession. The two-step of a kinyan. So that is a very big debate amongst the Rishonim. This Gemara is a difficult Gemara to understand, but it's our Gemara. The Gemara says, I pay the guy for the property, and then somebody else chaps a rein, and he does a maisa kinyan. And it's fine. So now the Rishonim debate, but I paid. Am I entitled to get back my money? So some Rishonim say, of course not. Because if I'm entitled to get back my money, that's the biggest proof that it's mine. Because what are you paying me for something that's not mine? Other Rishonim say, of course, it's bad enough that I bought the property from the guy and I lost the property. I should also lose my money. So they say, of course, the money I get back. What's the lumdus? So some explain the lumdus is because it's like a mashkin. It's no different than my money's like a mashkin that I'm entitled to get back. And others explain there's a concept in halacha of mishtarshi. Mishtarshi means that if somebody causes me the profit, I have to reimburse him. So this Jew, by paying the guy for this profit, for this property, caused me to profit that I could be zoich in it. So I have to reimburse him for doing that. What's the nafkamina? If we learn a lumdus of mishtarshi, or we learn a lumdus of mashkin, so Mefarshim explain as follows. If it's considered a mashkin, so I have to reimburse the Jew as much as he paid the Akum. If, however, we go with a lumdus of mishtarshi, I only have to reimburse him for what he did a favor for me. So if I could have gotten the property for less than he paid, I only have to pay him as much as I could have gotten it for. I don't have to give him back as much as he actually paid. Then the Mefarshim ask another interesting question. Let's say this happened. Somebody who comes to the shir, he knows this Gemara, is smart enough to say as follows. I'm buying the property from the guy. I know that our Gemara just taught us that till the shtar is written, somebody else can chap a rein and do kinyan chazaka. So to prevent that, you know what I'll do? I'll do kinyan chazaka. I'll be the first to do a kinyan chazaka to fend off anybody else from doing kinyan chazaka. Would that work? The Mefarshim say it wouldn't work. They explain as follows. When is a kinyan chazaka a valid kinyan? When I'm not expecting a shtar. So since I'm not expecting a shtar, the kinyan chazaka is a valid kinyan. But I, who am expecting a shtar, can't rely on a kinyan chazaka. And therefore, even if I want to be the first to do a kinyan chazaka to prevent the problem the Gemara is raising, it wouldn't be an effective act of kinyan for me. Ask the Gemara, Amla Baile Rabbi Yosef, Umi Am Shmuel Hachi, did Shmuel indeed pask in this way? V'am Shmuel, Dina de Machusa Dina. We have a rule throughout Halacha that Dina de Machusa Dina, that whatever the government says goes. Or Malka Amma, Lo Likni Ara, the king, the government rules are that a deal is not considered final, Ela Begarta. That means we've been learning that as soon as the guy gets his money, there's a kinyan. It's not true. The law is that there's no kinyan until the shtar is transmitted. Amale, Ana Lo Yodana. I can't respond to you, but what I can tell you is, Ela Uv the Hava, Bedura, the Rus of Yisrael, the Zavan Aram of Kechavim, there was a Jew that purchased property from a guy, Vas Yisrael Achrina, and another Jew, before the purchaser got his shtar, Rafik Baporta, Chaptarayim, and did some plowing, Asal Kamed Rav Yehuda, and the question came to Rav Yehuda, who's entitled to keep the property? And Nokma B'yada the Sheini. And he said that the second one, who did the first act of Chazaka, he becomes the owner of this property. Amalei, Dur de Rasa, comrade? You're bringing a raya from Dur de Rasa? Hossam Bagim Atamri here. There we were talking about property that the property tax wasn't paid for. Dinu Gufayu, Loyavataskal Malka, they didn't pay their proper, they did not properly pay their property tax. Malka Amamanda Yova, Taska, the one that pays the property tax, Leichel Ara becomes the property owner. So it wasn't because of any rule about when the deal is a deal, because of Dina de Machus Dina. It was a different pshat altogether. It was because the first owner really wasn't the owner because he hadn't paid his taxes, and the first one to pay the taxes becomes the owner, which is a concept we'll discuss more in Mitzvah Shemin tomorrow's shir. So the Mefarshim ask, how could there be a debate? Just look in the rules. The Gemara is questioning, is it Dina de Machus Dina, or is it not Dina de Machus Dina, that a sale is not final until the shtar is? So why don't we just take out the books and see what the rule is? So they say, no different than nowadays. There were rules that were open for interpretation. And this is one of those rules that was open for interpretation. What is the rule? Is the rule that it's not finalized until he gets a shtar? Or is the rule that, the shtar is not what's the critical element in consummating the deal? So here we become introduced to the concept of Dina de Machus Dina. And the Rishonim already debate, why is there a halacha of Dina de Machus Dina? The simplest pshat is if you live in a country and you're benefiting from the country, you have to follow the rules of the country. Others explain that the king owns the country, and since he owns the country, he has a right to make any rules that he wants in that country. But if that were the case, if that's the basis for the Dina de Machus Dina, say to Mefarshim, then in Eretz Yisrael, there can't be any Dina de Machus Dina, because Eretz Yisrael is owned by all Jews. It's not owned by the king. So there would be no Dina, which maybe is the case, there would be no Dina de Machus Dina in Eretz Yisrael. True, any democracy where the king doesn't actually own the country, Dina de Machus Dina. Similar pshat is that it has to be that way. The government has to be able to enact laws for it to be a civilized society. Otherwise, we can never survive. In fact, the Mefarshim say that one of the Zayin mitzvahs Pnei Noach is that they were mitzvah al adinim. And they say part of being mitzvah al adinim means that they have governments and we have to follow, not only the Goyim, but all of us have to follow the law of the land. However, one of the, when do we say Dina Machus Adina, when don't we say Dina Machus Adina? So one of the big conditions that all the Mefarshim say in Dina Machus Adina is if there are laws that are only enacted specifically to certain segments of the population versus other segments of the population, there we don't say Dina Machus Adina. And actually, I saw that the Mefarshim used this concept to explain three parashiyos in the Torah. One is the Paroi told the Miyaldois to kill all the Jewish children. So the pasuk says, "V'yomah Miyaldois ole Paroi, kiloi kamitzriyos ha'evriyos." So when we yeshiva, what do we learn? That the Miyaldois said the Jewish women go into labor and give birth very quickly. So before we arrive, the baby is born, and we can't kill the baby during delivery. That's not what he says. The Ktzai says this pshat. You can't enact such a law. We don't have to follow that law because it's a law that you're only making for the Ivriyos, not for the Mitzriyos. So even though we're obligated to follow the law of the land, if you made a different rule for the Jews and for the Goyim, that's not fair. So what did Paroi do? The pasuk said, that every child has to be killed. He had to accept their argument and everybody, all children had to be killed, otherwise they couldn't and followed Dina Machus Adina. Another place, the Gemara that I just quoted the other day in a shir, the Gemara says that Klai Yisrael, it's Gemara Masechta Shabbos, has Mikan Meidor Rabba Lo Raisa. The Klai Yisrael say that Kodesh Baruch Hu, we shouldn't have to follow the Torah. Kof Aleim HaKagigas, you forced us to be Mekabel the Torah. So the question is, how can we say that, Kodesh Baruch Hu? Dina Machus Adina. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the ultimate king. The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, not to the rest of the world. Since it was only given to Klal Yisrael and not to the rest of the world, there's no Dina Machus Adina. A third place, Parshas Bereishis. We find that after Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, what does Adam say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He'isha shenasata imadi, the woman that you gave me, ate. So what kind of answer is that she ate? So what kind of excuse is that? That why did you eat? The answer is, Adam said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you only told me not to eat. No one, everybody else is allowed to eat. Even Chava was allowed to eat. But that's not fair. Because we're learning now that Dina Machus Adina is only if the law applies to everyone. If the law applies to me and not to Chava, I don't have to follow that rule. If she's allowed to eat, then you can't tell me not to eat.